First Samuel 14. Now the day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come, let's cross over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah, under the pomegranate tree that is in Migron, and the people who were with him numbered about 600 men, and Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord at Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Now between the gorges by which Jonathan sought to cross over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a rocky crag on the one side and a rocky crag on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senah. The one crag rose on the north opposite Michmash, and the other on the south opposite Geba. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come, let's cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, because the Lord is not limited to saving by many or by few." His armor-bearer said to him, "Do everything that is in your heart. Turn yourself to it. And here I am with you, as your heart desires." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we are going to cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has handed them over to us, and this shall be the sign to us." When the two of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines said, "Behold, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have kept themselves hidden." So the men of the garrison responded to Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will inform you of something." And Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has handed them over to Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, with his armor-bearer behind him, and the men fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer put some to death after him. Now that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer inflicted was about 20 men within about half a furrow in an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. Even the garrison and the raiders trembled. And the earth quaked, so that it became a great trembling. Now Saul's watchmen in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude dissolved. They went here and there. So Saul said to the people who were with him, "Look carefully now, and see who has left us." And when they had looked, behold, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. Then Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For at that time the ark of God was with the sons of Israel. While Saul talked to the priest, the commotion in the camp of the Philistines continued and increased. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow Philistine, and there was a very great confusion. Now the Hebrews who were with the Philistines previously, who went up with them all around in the camp, even they also returned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the men of Israel who had kept themselves hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines had fled, they also closely pursued them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle spread beyond Beth-haven. Now the men of Israel were hard-pressed on that day, for Saul had put the people under oath, saying, "Cursed be the man who eats food before evening, and before I have avenged myself on my enemies." So none of the people tasted food. All the people of the land entered the forest, and there was honey on the ground. When the people entered the forest, behold, there was honey dripping, but no man put his hand to his mouth, because the people feared the oath. However, Jonathan had not heard it when his father put the people under oath. So he put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and dipped it in the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the people responded and said, "Your father strictly put the people under oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man who eats food today.' And the people were wary. Then Jonathan said, 'My father has troubled the land. See now that my eyes have brightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more, if only the people had freely eaten today of the spoils of their enemies which they found? For now the defeat among the Philistines has not been great.'" They attacked the Philistines that day from Michmash to Aijalon. But the people were very tired, so the people loudly rushed upon the spoils and took sheep, oxen, and calves, and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Then observers informed Saul, saying, "Look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating meat with the blood." And he said, "You have acted treacherously. Roll a large rock to me today." Then Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, 'Each one of you bring me his ox or his sheep, and slaughter it here and eat, and do not sin against the Lord by eating it with the blood.'" So all the people brought them that night, each one his ox with him, and they slaughtered them there. And Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Then Saul said, "Let's go down after the Philistines by night, and take plunder among them until the morning light, and let's not leave a man among them alive." And they said, "Do whatever seems good to you." So the priest said, "Let's approach God here." So Saul inquired of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you hand them over to Israel?" But he did not answer him on that day. Then Saul said, "Come here, all you leaders of the people, and investigate and see how this sin has happened today. For as the Lord lives who saves Israel, even if it is my son Jonathan, he shall assuredly die." But not one of those people answered him. Then he said to all Israel, "You shall be on one side, and I and my son Jonathan will be on the other side." And the people said to Saul, "Do what seems good to you." Therefore Saul said to the Lord, the God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." And Jonathan and Saul were selected by lot, but the people were exonerated. Then Saul said, "Cast lots between me and my son Jonathan." And Jonathan was selected by lot. So Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." And Jonathan told him, and said, "I did indeed taste a little honey with the end of the staff that was in my hand. Here I am. I must die." And Saul said, "May God do the same to me, and more also, for you shall certainly die, Jonathan." But the people said to Saul, "Must Jonathan die, he who has brought about this great victory in Israel? Far from it. As the Lord lives, not even a hair on his head shall fall to the ground, because he has worked with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul went up from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Now when Saul had taken control of the kingdom over Israel, he fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, the sons of Ammon, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. And wherever he turned, he inflicted punishment, and he acted valiantly, and defeated the Amalekites, and saved Israel from the hands of those who plundered them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua. And the names of his two daughters were these. The name of the firstborn was Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the commander of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. Now the war against the Philistines was severe all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any warrior or any valiant man, he attached him to his staff. Mark 14. Now the Passover and festival of unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him covertly and kill him, for they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise there will be a riot of the people." While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, he was reclining at the table, and a woman came with an alabaster vial of very expensive perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial and poured the perfume over his head, but there were some indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume could have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the entire world, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. They were delighted when they heard this, and promised to give him money, and he began seeking how to betray him at an opportune time. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he himself will show you a large upstairs room, furnished and ready. Prepare for us there." The disciples left and came to the city, and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be grieved, and to say to him, one by one, "Surely not I." But he said to them, "It is one of the 12, the one who dips bread with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is going away just as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." While they were eating, he took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if they all fall away, yet I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me 3 times. But Peter repeatedly said insistently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they were all saying the same thing as well. They came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, to the point of death. "Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them, and fell to the ground, and began praying that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came, and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying, so that you will not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came, and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say in reply to him. And he came the third time, and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? That is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Behold, the one who is betraying me is near." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." And after coming, Judas immediately went to him and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a man inciting a revolt? Every day I was with you in the temple grounds, teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has taken place so that the scriptures will be fulfilled." And his disciples all left him and fled. A young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes gathered together, and Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the entire council were trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any, for many people were giving false testimony against him, so their testimonies were not consistent. And then some stood up and began giving false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that was made by hands, and in 3 days I will build another, made without hands.' And not even in this respect was their testimony consistent." And then the high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, "Do you not offer any answer for what these men are testifying against you?" But he kept silent and did not offer any answer. Again the high priest was questioning him, and said to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, and coming with the clouds of heaven." Tearing his clothes, the high priest said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?" And they all condemned him as deserving of death. And some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him with their fists, and say to him, "Prophesy." Then the officers took custody of him and slapped him in the face. And while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the slave women of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You were with Jesus the Nazarene as well." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." And he went out onto the porch. The slave woman saw him, and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were saying again to Peter, "You really are one of them, for you are a Galilean as well." but he began to curse himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus made the remark to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he hurried on and began to weep. Hebrews 8. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and a shadow of heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For, "See," he says, "that you make all things by the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain." But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, to the extent that he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been free of fault, no circumstances would have been sought for a second. For in finding fault with the people, he says, "Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will bring about a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers, on the day I took them by the hand, to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care about them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they will not teach each one his fellow citizen, and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful toward their wrongdoings, and their sins I will no longer remember." When he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is about to disappear. Proverbs 15:12-22. A scoffer does not love one who rebukes him. He will not go to the wise. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the needy are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in turmoil with the treasure. Better is a portion of vegetables where there is love than a fattened ox served with hatred. A hot-tempered person stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. The way of the lazy one is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Foolishness is joy to one who lacks sense, but a person of understanding walks straight. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The Lord will stretch out your strong scepter from Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." Your people will volunteer freely on the day of your power, in holy splendor from the tomb of the dawn. Your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he will lift up his head.